Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. Freedom is calling to brighten up your winter mornings. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It is sex and relationship therapy time.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Now, if you need to bail out, remember you can catch this later on our podcast. Today is going to be very different because, first of all, Rachel Cook is in studio.
It's me. I'm here. Got a fright there.
Looking gorgeous. Here she is in the studio. And we're going to, I mean, we've been doing sex and relationship therapy for
two and a half years. Coming up to three now.
We've talked about everything from edging to lube to ghosting to the works.
Yeah.
So Rachel wants to do a little quiz with me to see did I learn anything in the 2.5 years. It is time to play Cockbusters.
Oh,
it's a good one. Okay, so you've lots of questions for me. Let's get to it. Go for it.
Okay, what's the name of one of the most common forms of infertility in people with penises? Is it A, meningocele, B, varicocele, C, Mickeycele, D, testosterone deficiency?
It's definitely not Mickeycele. Because I would have remembered that if we talked about it. So yeah. The most common form of infertility in people with penises, is it just...
One of the most common.
Testosterone deficiency?
It is one of the most common, but actually varicocele is more common. Do you remember that one? It's basically varicose veins in the testicles. Oh. Enlarged veins, yeah. Yeah, very common.
You see that quite often. That's not great. That's not great then for testosterone or...
It's not great for having babies.
No. Okay. For
most people, it doesn't cause them any pain, any discomfort, but it can block the body in ways that mean that they can't. They're not releasing their sperm in the right way.
Okay.
Or at all.
Okay.
Here you
go. Good to know. Next question. Yeah.
What is safe sex? Is it A, sex with a condom? B, sex with only one partner? C, the pull-out method, or D, abstinence?
Well, it has to be sex with a condom. It's safe sex.
Stop
it, Rachel. Don't tell me I'm wrong.
That is safer sex. It is safer sex. There's no such thing as safe sex besides abstinence. Because no matter what you use for a contraceptive, it's not 100%. It just isn't. So... it can be safer, but not safe.
Okay.
There you go.
Interesting.
That was a little bit of a trick one. A little bit of a trick one.
Not doing great. Go on.
Right. Do men have higher sex drives than women? Yes, obviously. No, women's are higher. No, they're the same. Or it depends on the person, but they tend to be about equal.
This is interesting because we talked about this on the show.
We did.
This was a big thing for me. I was like, men definitely, in my experience, have a higher sex drive than women.
This was the very first show, I think it
was. Yeah, and you quickly put me down and was like, no, research has shown that this is absolutely untrue. Mm. So I would say, I still kind of stand by. I'm going to disregard the research.
You're just going to disregard the science.
Disregard the science, yeah. Right? And I'm going to say, men have a higher sex drive.
No, it's B. It depends on the person, or D. I think it was how I read it out there. It depends
Rachel,
on the person, but it tends to be about equal.
Come on, in your therapy sessions with couples, is it not a lot of the case that the man is wanting more sex than the women?
Yes, but the problem is that it's not about the women having lower sex drive; it's that they're so exhausted, basically, and sick of not having a dynamic where they feel as though they know how to initiate sex, so they feel pestered by the other person, which gives the appearance of their sex drive being lower because they're just put off by constantly feeling like someone's pawing at them and or asking them in a way that they don't exactly because they've kids and all that. But it's not actually their sex drive. It's the fact that they don't know how to manage that well in terms of their communication with each other.
Okay.
And when they do that, I find that it ends up being not that people have the same sex drive, but that overall it very much balances out for whatever gender people are, that it doesn't seem to make a difference.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go. Okay. Tell us whether these are myths about virginity.
Okay.
One, you'll bleed the first time you have PIV or penetrative sex.
That's a myth.
That is a myth.
Yep.
Well done, Jen.
Thank you.
Okay, a broken hymen means that you've had sex.
That's a myth.
Tell us why.
because your hymen can break if you ride.
I like how you're looking over that. Who's going to tell you?
If you ride a bike with a really bad saddle on.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Hmm. Thank you.
Saddle, horse.
Yeah. Anything.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Losing your virginity will hurt.
True.
Myth. It may hurt, but it's not necessarily going to.
Yeah.
If you're well lubed up and there's been stuff going on, then you're going to have a lovely time.
Okay.
And probably not going to be sore at all. And last one, the first time that you have sex should be with someone special.
Special it could mean anything, Rachel. Special is it could be meaningful,
Jen,
or they could be written.
I love the nuance of this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Of course they don't have to be special. You could just go out and. But I would say, because it's your first time and you want it to be a nice experience and you want to be able to communicate with that person, do it with someone special. That's what I would say.
Okay.
And that's what I'll be telling my daughter when she gets
very
older.
Good. But you get to decide for yourself what special means. It doesn't have to mean that you're in love with them or that you're going to be with them forever or whatever else.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Should LGBTQ+ people come out? A, yes, they should be proud. B, no, they don't have to. C, people should come out if they want to. Or D, all of the above.
This is an interesting one. We had a huge campaign recently about the LGBTQ+ community, and it was all about coming in.
Yep.
We shouldn't have to announce to the world what we're into, and really we shouldn't have to be putting ourselves in a box at such an early age, you know.
Yep.
You should be able to just discover and be who you want to be. So I would say, should they have to come out? It's a really complex it's a complex question, Rachel, because
yes.
I would say it is in a way after, I mean, let's not forget, it was only 15, 20 years ago where it was, 20 years ago, illegal, and, you know. So there's the power in saying to your friends and family, I'm gay.
Big time.
I'm trans, I'm whatever.
Yeah.
So there's we can't dismiss that, the power of that. But I hope we will get to a society where we don't have to. But I think it is important to recognise it as well.
Took the words out of my own mouth.
Really?
Beautiful.
So it's a yes. I have
something. On that one, I've gone with all of the above. Because absolutely, if people want to come out and feel it's important to them, great.
Yeah.
If they don't want to and feel that that's their private business or that they don't want to take the risks, then that's fine too. And so basically, people can come out if they want to. But, you know, there's lots of different perspectives on that.
Hopefully we will. Do you think we will get to a place in society where we won't have to
I don't even think that's that far from now.
I mean,
it might be another 5 to 10 years, but I think in the grand scheme of things, that's you know,
that's,
ideally it would be right now, but I don't think it's too far away. Right. Is jealousy in relationships healthy? A, yes, it shows you love and fancy your partner. B, no, it's damaging and you have to suppress it. C, no, jealousy means you're in a toxic relationship. Or D, it's neither healthy nor unhealthy as a feeling. It's what you do with it that matters.
I would say D, it's neither healthy or unhealthy as a feeling. It's what you do with it that matters.
Yes.
I mean, like my husband has worked with Margot Robbie on sets of films and like absolutely fancies the pants off her.
Of course.
Now, obviously, she wouldn't look at him twice. But there'd be a little bit of jealousy. But, you know, it's kind of, is there such a thing as healthy jealousy?
There can be, because some people thrive off a bit of that. You know, you get a little bit of competition, you feel a bit of a pep in your step. As long as it's not something that ends up people feeling a load of insecurity and shame or having kind of tit for tat and having stabs at each other and getting, you know, kind of caustic about it, then absolutely you can have a bit of a buzz.
Okay, there we go.
There we go.
I'm dreading this next question.
Is squirting just wee?
I really hope my dad's not listening to today's show. I mean...
I gave him a call before to let him know.
Is it just wee? I would say there's a little bit of wee in there, is there?
That's the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, can I just let me finish, Rachel?
Go on.
Because you talked about squirting on the show.
I did.
And you told me there's a little bit of wee in there. That's how I know.
Yeah. You remember.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so yeah, there's been a big debate about this because lots of people for years it was said it's just wee and actually that makes it gross, or that, you know, it's kind of a fake thing that people are pretending feels really great or is a separate type of pleasure or orgasm. And then a lot of people came out and said there's absolutely no wee in it. That is wild and it's, you know, totally wrong. And we've realised that it's probably somewhere between the two. It's probably a bit of wee, but realistically people generally, when they squirt, have an amazing time and really enjoy it, and so do their partners.
And the other thing I learned from you is you can teach yourself to do this.
You sure can. Have you been working on that?
That's why I took a week off. Okay,
no COVID at all, just practicing blind. Your squatting.
I'm so getting fired after this. Okay, go on. Next question.
Okay, if you have sexual fantasies about people of your own gender, does that mean you're not heterosexual?
I remember this chat. No, it doesn't. Fantasies are completely different to real life.
No.
Ah,
so
Rachel.
It's you're mostly right, but I would say we'd go with maybe there, because of course there's
maybe
a possibility. Maybe. But it does not inherently mean, just because you fantasize about literally anything, that that means something about your gender or your sexuality or your identity. But it could do. So it doesn't mean you totally rule it out. I hope as well that we're going to get to a stage where we just don't need to worry so much about what it means, because it's fine to do and love whatever as long as people are consenting and, you know,
safe.
Of age and all that, and safe.
Yeah.
Exactly. What's the right amount to masturbate?
6 times a day.
That's it.
Thank
nice.
You. Next question.
What amount of sex is healthy?
What amount of sex is healthy? Whatever you want,
yeah,
I would say.
Same as the masturbation, right?
Yeah.
As long as you and your, well, in the case of partnered sex, whoever your partners are, not that it's only down to them, but having a negotiation, like if one person is massively unhappy because you're having so much sex or so little sex for them, then, you know, chat about that. But that basically there is no right amount to masturbate or have sex, or even ways to have sex, as long as the people involved are safe, consenting and happy.
There we go.
And that you can function, right? If you're masturbating 20 times a day, you're probably not working. But I mean,
yeah,
if you're on a sabbatical, or, you know, you've got a little break from work, you're on garden leave or something, then
go for your life.
Wank away.
Go for your life.
Yep.
Next question.
How can you let your partner know that you'd like to have sex with them? A, give them the eye, but then immediately get the hump if they don't respond.
No.
B, make passive aggressive remarks about how little sex you're having.
Don't do that.
C, offer to do them a favour in return for sex.
I want favours in return for sex.
D, ask them or let them know clearly but unobtrusively that you're up for it.
Well, that is obviously the right answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like I've given a lot of D answers as the right
you
one
have,
here,
you have.
So I've kind of given it away.
Go on, STIs.
Yeah, what STIs can you get from oral sex? Is it none, all of them, only crabs from really long pubes? Or is it syphilis, herpes, gonorrhea, HPV, HIV, chlamydia and trichomonas? I've just forgotten how to pronounce that.
Trichomonas. Chlamydia. I would say most of them you can get orally, can you?
Yeah, it's the last one there. All of them.
Oh,
yep.
Wow,
yep.
Scary.
Less likely than penetrative sex,
well,
but
okay.
You still definitely can, because a lot of people have, it is a myth that you can't get STDs from oral sex.
Wow.
Now, obviously, if you're using a barrier, a condom of some kind, then that is going to be much more protected. But again, there's only safer sex, not safe sex.
That's right. Okay.
Right. Should each partner climax the same amount of times during sex? Yes, without exception. No, sex isn't about how many orgasms happen. Or no, sex isn't about the number of orgasms. However, the orgasm gap is worth noting in
heterosex. Now, we've talked
heterosex.
About orgasms a lot on the show, haven't we? And how it should not be the end game.
Yes.
And the touching and the closeness and all that, that is so, so important and is sex. But because we're fed this narrative from porn and mainstream media and films, that there's this ta-da moment that you both have at the same time, it's just not realistic.
You've got it.
Yeah.
Spot
there
on.
There we go.
Spot on,
there
Jen.
There we go.
Unreal.
I still think it should be a yes without exceptions.
well, that's how you can choose to do that.
I'm working on that. Okay, another one. Last.
Is it normal to have a penis that curves to the side or one labia longer than the other? No, you freak. Don't let anyone see your weird bits. Yes, that's normal. Or yes, as long as it's not causing you pain or discomfort.
I would say C, yes, as long as it's not causing that. All shapes and sizes, Rachel.
Exactly.
All shapes and sizes.
What we see in mainstream porn is usually very tucked in, neat, symmetrical.
Cut.
Yeah, cut, exactly. A lot of the people have had surgery to look that way. And it is very, very normal for it to have all sorts of shapes and sizes. Now, if there's any kind of discharge or pain or whatever that seems different to the usual that you have, or very, very different maybe, and it's causing you pain or discomfort, then absolutely get it checked out. But otherwise, it's all good. It's all good.
Okay, do you want to keep going?
Oh,
to keep going?
Oh,
okay.
We've got
one more.
Okay.
Are you really going with this one now?
Okay, yeah, I am. Is anal sex messy? Yeah, gross. never, usually, or rarely, but it can happen.
I would say depends on how long after your dinner. Maybe D, rarely, but it can happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know, people, again, with a bit like with the is squirting wee, the idea that it could be a bit messy sometimes just absolutely grosses people out. But, you know, usually when you get used to it, it's very rare that it's going to be messy, and that if it is, it's just not that big a deal. You just have a little wash or take a pause, get a wet wipe, on you go. It's grand.
I think we'll finish on wet wipe, will we? I think we will. Did I pass?
You did very, very well.
Thank you.
You gave me a pen. And I did forget to take down your marks, but
okay.
I think you did well above average.
Well, I have to say, in the 2.5 years that you've been doing this lot, I have learned a lot.
No.
And not just about sex, but about relationships as well. Mm. And it's opened up conversations with me and my husband. So thank you, Rachel.
You're
Cock.
So welcome.
Rachel Cock,
is that what you call me?
No, did I call you Rachel Cock? No, I did, yeah.
That's
grand.
Remember
one of those
That's
mornings where we were playing Cockbusters.
Here we were.
You know.
Cockbusters.
Rachel Cockbusters. You can follow her on Instagram. It's Rachel J, not Cock, but Cook with an E on the end. She will be back next week. If there's anything specifically you would like her to discuss, please get in touch with the show. You can email me, jen@rte.ie. That is it. Thanks for coming in, and we see you next week.
See you, Jen.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.